Let's pray. Father, we are thankful. And we are so grateful for your presence with us. Thank you for including us in this day. Thank you for making us a part of what you're doing. We pray, oh God, right now, right this moment, that you would stand in our bodies, thank for us, speak for us, act for us in every way and every respect, that which you're so willing to give will be receptive to receive. Father, I pray that you would illuminate our minds, that you would enlighten our eyes of understanding, that you would give us revelation and knowledge and wisdom of you, even at this moment, God, that we will know what to do and what to say in every situation, in every circumstance we find ourselves in. Never caught off guard or by surprise, knowing exactly what to do. Bless us now as we open your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I want to talk about relationships, relationships, relationships. Can I do that? Relationships, relationships, relationship, relationship, relationship. I want to talk about that. Eventually, I'm going to get to Romans, the 12th chapter. So if you want to go there, you can go ahead of me. I'm going to get to Romans, the 12th chapter. But I want to begin this from the beginning. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And he saw it and he said it was good. He said, let there be. Several times he said, let there be. And God saw it and said it was good. And he got to the 21st verse. And everything God had, 25th verse in the first chapter, he got to the 25th verse. And everything God had created, he saw it and said it was good. And then you skip that and go to the last verse. I think it's the 31st verse. And it says that after God created everything, maybe it's the 30th verse, says everything that he had created, God saw it and was very good. Now, do anyone have a clue about what happened between the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th verse that happened that changed it from being just good to very good? Well, I'll help you now. The 26th verse says, let us make man in our own image and our likeness, right? Amen. And then in verse 27, he says, God created Nettie, and it went from good to very good. Don't your Bible say that? Somebody's turning it now to see whether or not it says Nettie. Listen. In the image and likeness of God, he created them male and female. And in them was the DNA of relationship. In them was the DNA of relationship. You don't believe it? Read the 18th verse of the second chapter, right? What did he say? He said it was not good that man should be what? Alone. And he created him what? And helped me. So in us is the DNA of relationship. We cannot survive. We cannot live. We cannot breathe without being connected to another human being in relationship. So in the beginning, God put DNA of relationships in us. Now listen. He created us in his image, in his likeness, and in that, he says you must have a relationship with yourself, a relationship with God, and relationship with others. Amen? Amen. Somebody say, well, what's wrong with you having a relationship with yourself? And that selfish or something like that? I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a right kind of relationship with yourself, you cannot have a right relationship with anyone else, including God. If you don't believe it, just look around in our society today. The people that messed up in a relationship with themselves would do crazy stuff like shoot up the place and then kill themselves, blow up the place and then blow themselves up with the place because they don't have the right kind of relationship with themselves. Now, we're living in a society today. Somebody must be praying. I'm moving on through. Listen. Y'all keep praying. Listen, listen, listen. We live in a society today that if you can think of an issue, a concern in our society today, we are divided at levels that you couldn't even imagine. We are divided about our gender. We are divided about our race. We are divided about our politics. We are divided about family. We are divided over every level, government, economics, whatever it is. We are divided, and the Christians are right in the middle of this mess and don't know what to do. They are looking to politicians. They are looking to government. Yeah, y'all don't look at me like that. You know these Christians, you know the majority of the population of this state said that they are Christians? So if all the Christians was doing what they were supposed to be doing, then we wouldn't be in the mess we were in. Because all the people that messed up doing all this crazy stuff are not heathens. all of this fighting going on in the White House and in the Capitol, in the Supreme Court, wherever it is, all of those people confess and say that they are Christians. And so here's what I believe. Y'all just keep looking at me and smiling. See, here's what I believe, that if God was going to dump this mess on a doorstep, you wouldn't be able to get into church because it'd be on the doorsteps of the church. Because he never called any of these other folks to do salt and light. Y'all not listening to me. He never said to the world, you are the salt and light. Go into all the world and be salt and light. He said that to Christians to go into the world. And he said, I give you a twofold proposition. There will be darkness and there will be decay. And because if it wasn't no darkness, he wouldn't say go and be light. If there was no decay going on, he wouldn't say go and be a preservative, be salt in a decaying situation. And so he's calling us. And chapter 12 of Romans tells us how to have a right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with each other, and right relationship with non-Christians and enemies. And you got to have a right relationship with enemies, right relationship with non-Christians, and right relationship with each other, right relationship with self, and right relationship with God. It's all there in Romans. I want to read the whole chapter. I didn't get through it this morning, but anyway. Let's try it now and see if we get through the whole chapter. I might read longer. I preach depending on how you're praying. Yeah. That's a good man over there. He said he's still praying. Amen. Amen. The 12th chapter of Romans. Remember, relationship, relationship, relationship. So we figured out now that we know that the DNA of relationship is in us. And if you hadn't figured that out by now, then I just want to confirm it, is that people have tried to isolate themselves. They've tried to insulate themselves. They've tried to go into a cell and live in a bubble and do all these other things. And here's the clue. None of them survive. They figured out that they cannot live without another human being. I don't know whether you heard this before or not, but back in the 20s, I think it was, they did a test on newborn babies. I think it was like 25 of them or so on both sides of the spectrum. One side, they put these healthy babies that was born into cribs, and there was no nurturing, there was no touching. All they did was fed, clothed, and dried, whatever they do to do that, and put them back into their crib. And on the other side, that was being fed, dried, and nurtured, and rocked, and all of those things. And the ones that did not get the touch of another human being on a regular, continual basis grow up in deformities, mental illness, and all kinds of things. Some of them even died because they did not have that touch from another human being. So if you're trying to figure out how to live without folks, somebody said, God has delivered me from people. I don't know how he done that when he called you to be with people. But how can he deliver you from people? And he called us to be independent of one another. He made us that we cannot be what we're supposed to be unless we depend on one another. I know my mother raised me up to be independent, so nobody would have to do anything for me. I can do everything for myself, right? Bless her heart, she didn't have it right. I do know how to cook, wash, iron, clean up, know how to plug the vacuum in, and actually run that dude. Yeah, and so she raised me. I had to cook a chocolate cake the 25th of every September because that was my brother's birthday. I don't like chocolate cakes today. I want you to know that. The good part, though, is mine is on the 27th. He had to cook a caramel cake. That's my favorite. Everybody listening? That's his favorite, caramel. Listen, isn't that what we do? We do everything we can to be independent so that we won't have to depend. Are y'all listening to me? Only to find out in all of this, we got to depend on one another. Right. At some point, we have to swallow our pride or do away with it, whatever else, and say, help me. It's in there. It's no avoiding that. And one of the things that breaks my heart so bad is that when something happened to Christians especially when they fall, sin, or do something that they're ashamed of, they isolate themselves. They hide themselves. Even when disaster strikes, we really don't want to ask for help. Well, I don't want to inconvenience anybody. I don't want to. Listen, God has put that in you. You can't help but to do that. When my wife be sitting and she said, pass me this and pass me that, and she'll sit there and hold an empty container for 30 minutes. If it take me that long, decide I'm going to get up. Because she'll say, on your way to the kitchen, will you? You know, what if I wasn't going to the kitchen? Or she'll sit there and say, well, whenever you get up to go back there, take this with you. And I'm thinking, maybe I don't want to go that way. But for some strange reason, I'm always going in the direction she needs to, that stuff to go in. You understand what I'm saying? And all the women said amen, right? Listen, let me get on before I get in trouble here. See, I'm already in trouble. Listen, y'all pray that to get out of this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God dealt to each one a measure of faith. I stumbled through that because I memorized them in certain translations, then I had to read it from another translation, and I'm all messed up. But listen, those first two verses says, in essence, we are to surrender our totality. Every inch, every ounce of us should be yielded and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And Paul brings that up after he talked about all the wonderful things that God has done for you and me. One of the things I love in chapter 6 of Romans, he talked about how Jesus died to pay the penalty price that I could not pay. He rose again from the grave to pardon me and give me the power to overcome sin. Amen. Y'all didn't hear me. Amen. He took care of that I could not take care of. And then he gave me something that I didn't deserve. He gave me the power to live free from sin. And one of these days he's going to show up and remove me from the presence of sin. That's why John talks about no more, no more. I'm excited. The Bible says, rush it on. Pray that the Lord will show up soon. There will be no more crying, no more aches, no more pain, no more hatred, no more evil, no presence of sin. I'm looking for that day. Amen. I'm rejoicing, looking towards that day. Listen, in those verses, he says, you ought to have a kind of relationship with God that has no restrictions, no hindrance, an unbridled sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, that you shouldn't have any restrictions, no conditions. You know, in society today, we got conditions. Even when my wife asked me to put that away for her, she says, when you go that way, if you go that way, No condition. Put this away. She can do that too. No condition. Can you imagine having a relationship? Listen. The lady at the well. When Jesus talked to the lady at the well, and she left, and she says, when she went into town, she said, come here, man, that know you fully and still love you. Y'all now listen to me. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a person that fully, completely know every skeleton, everything in your closet, helped you clean out your closet, know all your secrets, everything about you, and still love you? In spite of your frailty, your faults, and all your frailties and fragilities, all those things, Jesus is the man. He loves you in spite of you. He loves me in spite of me. No condition, no strength. And Paul says, because of that, you ought to give yourself totally to him without any restrictions, unbiased. no blemish. My best to him. My first to him. Everything that I am belonged to him. I heard the preacher say, you can't be God-given. Well, the reason you can't be God-given because everything you got it from God. So how you going to be God-given when he's given you everything that you have? Oh, y'all not listening to me. Let me move on down the line. Listen. He says in this passage that it renew your mind. Well, I can't renew my mind. But he says, don't let your surroundings, your outside, your around you, circumstance, influence your behavior on how you should act. If there ever was a time in our society that people are conformed to the world, we're conforming to the world today, and Christians are messed up in this conformity to the world because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to break the peace. We don't want to do this. We don't want to cause no argument. Well, if you're going to live in a society today, you got to break the peace. Because the peace you're talking about ain't God's peace anyway. Because the peace God give you, the world cannot take it away. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I can have joy in the midst of chaos. I can have peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of wars. I can have peace because the peace that's in here don't get disturbed by what's going on out there. Yeah, we need some peace lovers around. And so he says, don't conform to this world. Don't allow your behavior to be influenced by your politics, influenced by your gender, or influenced by your sorority, your societal organization thing, your government and all of those things. We're looking for politicians and government to tell us how to live and how we need to. No, let's live the way God says to live, and he'll take care of the politicians. He'll take care of the government. Yeah, we don't have to look to them. They should be looking to us because he's called us to be salt and light. Obviously, in Washington, they don't know how to act. Certainly don't know how to act in private. And sometimes they don't know how to act in public. And they need an example. We had this legislative prayer breakfast every year now. We started back in 15. We wanted the denominations and Christian groups to come together and demonstrate to them how we can work as one to pray for them. And we're going to continue to do that to get them to operate the way God intended for us to operate. And so he says, don't conform to this world, but by renewing your mind. Well, if you give your body to God, he'll change your thinking. He'll change how you live morally. He'll change the way you think. He'll change the way you act. He'll change you morally. He'll change you mentally, emotionally. He'll change you even motivationally. He will inspire you with the power of God to live out the way you ought to live, and you can live to this standard. And then he says, don't think more of yourself than you ought to think, but think soberly about yourself. Simply mean that I have value. Brother was teasing us a minute ago. He has value. I have value. Together, we got it on because we are equal in the sight of God and we have the same value. So there's no little ones and big ones or whatever else. What's important for one is important for the other. What takes for one, it takes for the other because we have this intimate relationship. So now we got it right with God. Now we know how to think of ourselves. You know, we go from one extreme to the other one. I think more of myself than I ought to. Yeah, when I was working for the government, Pastor, just keep praying for me. Y'all keep praying for me too. The pastor don't grab me. But this guy was in the reserve, and he was a helicopter pilot in the Air Army. And he went off and he came back and he was bragging about all his accomplishments and so forth. And somebody say, oh man, grab him and pull him down. His body ain't touching his clothes nowhere because of his ego. We think more ourselves than we ought to think. And then we go to the other extreme. We think less of ourselves and call it humility. Humility is simple understanding that I got value. And you got value. That's it. That's right. That's it. You don't have to apologize for looking good. And I know the ladies are not laughing the harder they work. See, the man will get in the mirror and look at himself, and he, who cares, right? Keep on going. And the lady will get in the mirror and fix herself. I know they do because I'm driving down the highway, and there they are. And I'm thinking, let me speed up or slow down. Because she's paying more attention to it. No. All right, y'all got to go home now. My wife is in Jackson. Listen. And if I wanted to know anything I've said, I'd tell her myself, right? Listen. Listen. We dress ourselves up and we take time to do the hygiene, the whole deal, so we can smell good and look good and all of that. And somebody compliments you and you go, this whole thing, you know you've taken a lot of time and energy to do that. Accept that compliment. Well, I don't want to. No, accept that compliment because it's given honestly. You should receive it honestly. And that's what we're talking about, one together and making the whole complete. Yeah. Don't be like Ernest Abe when the lady says, do this dress make me look fat? And he chokes that candy in his mouth so he won't have to answer, right? He knew it was a setup, right? And since he's Ernest Abe, he can't lie, so he had to do what? Not say anything. So listen. Somebody get that later. Right relationship with God and right relationship with ourselves and then right relationship with one another. Listen to the sixth verse. I'm going on through this thing because I see y'all going to pray. Listen. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhort in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Listen, he just said we all have different gifts. Exercise your gift. Don't worry about hers. Don't worry about his. Worry about mine. And in order for you to exercise your gift, you need to know what gifts you have. And you need to know the gifts in the body. And together, if we're all exercising our gift, if we're all lending a hand, we're all doing what God has blessed us to do. You know that people can give better than others? They just got something about them. They just like to give everything away. Sometimes it seems like they're giving it away to their detriment. Don't worry about it. God has blessed them to do that. That's their gift. Let them give. If you're on the receiving end, receive it cheerfully, right? That's your gift. I had a gift of receiving. So if you got the gift of giving, we can make the whole, right?
Somebody said, yeah.
Listen, gifts. Exercise your gift. Now, in verse 9, I think it's the 13. Let me read those verses. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Listen now, we just talked about everybody's got a gift and exercise their gift, right? Now, we understand now how to get along with God, how to get along with ourselves, and how to get along with others, right? Will you just do that? Not quite. I got a couple other things I want to add to that. Yeah. Listen. He says, in this passage of Scripture, he says getting along with each other is going to require not only the exercise of our gifts, but the extension of grace and the expression of love. I just read that for you. Exercise our gifts, extend grace, and express love. Here we go. Look at verse 9, 10, 11, and 12, 13. Listen. He says, this is about grace. It's about your character, your contact, your conduct, your conviction, and your concern. You see that in there? Then he talks about love. He says love without hypocrisy and all of those things. So here we go. Character, contact, conduct, conviction, concern. He says if we can extend grace to others, we need pure love, we need personal love, we need positive love, and we need patient with love and prayerful in love. It's all there. We got to, as believers together, if we can manage to extend to each other's grace, if we can do to others what Christ have done for me, he've extended me grace. Earlier I talked about grace and I talked about mercy. God has had the grace to not to give me what I deserve, but he give me mercy, something I don't deserve, or vice versa, whichever way that works, is that I don't get what I deserve, but I get that which I do not deserve. I deserve death and hell, but because of the grace of God, the mercy of God, I get to live with him forever. In spite of my sin, in spite of my failure, in spite of who I am. Because now whose I am and who I am in him make the difference. And so what he's done for me, I need to extend it to you. Through the grace of God, I can extend grace to you. Through the love of God, I can express the love that he's expressed to me to you. And I can be patient with you in doing that because he's patient with me. I can do it in pure love because that's what he's done for me. I can extend to you all that he's extended to me. And he says that we'll do that. The world will see the goodness of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, the love of God. And because they see that, they'll be busting the door down to get here. Yeah, you keep loving on each other. Somebody's paying attention. You keep loving on each other. Somebody's going to say, how can I get some of that? I want that in my house. I want that on my job. I want that where I am. Well, if they see you acting that way, coming in on time, leaving on time, doing the right thing, they're going to start looking at you. I got people calling me saying, you know, the place I work in is so corrupt. I get in trouble if I do the right thing because they're all corrupt. Yeah, I said, because God has sent you there to be the light in all of that darkness. Don't be trying to get out of there. That's your ministry. That's your assignment. They never may see a light of the Lord of God. Because of you and you are there, they'll see the goodness. Yeah, you keep acting that way, they'll give up their contamination and come your way. Last one. How do we deal with others? I love this. I love this. Listen. Bless those who persecute you. Y'all worried about people and how they treat you? What did he just say? Bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associated with the humble. We just figured that one out, right? Do not be wise in your own opinion. Whew. You ever met anybody that knows everything about everything and they don't really bother with no facts or anything else? But verse 17 is my most favorite verse. And 17, 18 is really, I love those verses. He says, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible. Now, I just want to say this here. That really ain't an F. Because it is possible for us to live peaceably with all humankind, right? I know you can get along with everybody, right? The problem is always the other fellow, right? Yeah. You know, my wife would act right. We'd have a wonderful marriage. It's, you know, she would just do what I tell her to do. Everything's wonderful, right? Again, if I want her to know what I'm saying, I'll tell her, all right? But you understand that, right? You know, and you talk to her, and she said, if he would just do what I asked him to do, when I asked him to do, where I asked him to do, everything is wonderful. Nobody gonna say a word, huh? So it's possible for me to live with all humankind within peace. Otherwise, he wouldn't talk about a right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with each other, and right relationship with non-Christians, and right relationship with our enemies. So we're doing that. It's possible to live with peace because the peace you have is not gained or made up or manufactured by how we get along. The peace I have it within. And nothing you can do externally is going to disturb the peace that I have within, so I can live peaceful with all men. Oh, y'all not listening to me. Listen, listen. I can live peaceful with all men. The problem is that these people don't act the way I want them to act, and that's where the problem comes in. Because I want them to act and conduct themselves in a certain way, and because they don't conduct themselves in a certain way, we would never have an argument in my household if my wife just obey me. And certainly she would say, girl, I just ignore him. They say, how do you put up with him? I just ignore him. Now, that says to me, if I just do what you say, do how and when and where, all those things, we'd be just, you'd be just fine. I'd probably be. Listen, I'm getting there. I know that you're running out that patience. I said that you ought to have for me, right? Listen. He says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, not on them, live peacefully with all mankind. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, somebody ought to just retweet that. You know, when all that foolishness be going on the internet, back and forth about stuff, why don't you just put, you know, they want to get even, protest, do all those other things. I never heard of such a thing. Christians protesting one another. What is this? Christian protesting because of another human being. Christians not doing what they're supposed to do because someone didn't vote the way they ought to vote or do what they thought they ought to do. I just can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I've been living with my wife. We're celebrating 46 plus years of marriage, and I don't think we've ever voted the same before. Why y'all laughing? When my daughter, she's 30 now, and when she was a baby, she used to pull on my wife's dress tail and say, don't you go vote, because you're just going to cancel out my daddy's vote, so you stay home. And that was way back when. 46 years later, we're still together, because I don't have no control over who she want to vote for, and I'm certainly not going to fall out with her over who she votes for. Whatever the idiot it is that she votes for, it ain't going to bother me. Right? I tell you, why do we get so upset with one another? Because we get, you know, and we become enemies. In my neighborhood, I see signs and things defaced and torn down because it's not my candidate. I'm thinking, you wonder why people get shot. People on somebody else's property defacing their stuff because they can't alone, and all this stuff has happened. And so as Christians, we ought to be the salt and light in all of this darkness. Listen, and now, this is the really good part right here. Therefore, that's in verse 20. You know, therefore mean. Listen, don't worry about this because of what I just said, because what I'm getting ready to say is going to fix what I just said. You got that? I didn't. I'm glad you did. Listen, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For, listen to this, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Now that just capsized it for me. All those people that are against me, my enemies, don't want to do right, act right, I'm just going to love the hell out of them. Because it says so right there. That's clear to me. That if you really want to fix this person, just love on them and let God have them, and God going to burn them up, and all you got to do is stand back and say, I ain't got no water. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with. That's a good place to close in. Listen, here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion, brothers and sisters. Right relationship with God, right relationship with ourselves, right relationship with others, will result in right living. I need to repeat that with emphasis. Right relationship with God, right relationship with myself, right relationship with you equals right living. God bless you and God keep you.